this is DJ Frederick, and the Radio Thrift Shop is open for your listening pleasure. If you like folk music, folk rock, psychedelic, jazz, easy listening, world music, homemade music, neoclassical music, indie pop, indie rock. It's like you're digging through the crates of your favorite thrift shop on the airwaves. All right, you never know what you're going to hear. Let's dig into this week's playlist on the Radio Thrift Shop.
Smiling again. you find seems to have turned you down. Though the reasons they weren't quite clear, so you look around to the friends you found and try to see the answer in their eyes. And you've had enough. Look to the sky and see a new day. The images, the clearer sky that I see. The
images of suffocating dreams. You got
Band called Soul Soup with a tune called Everybody Listen from 1969. And before that, group called Imagine with Images, Clear Skies, and Rainbows, recorded back in 1975. And we started that set off with a band called The 19th Hole from their LP Smilin'. Great tune called You Caught Me Smilin' Again. Well, I'm smiling, but you can't see me because I'm here on the radio behind the microphone on WSCS and 90.9 FM in New London and around the world at classicalwscs.org and over at The Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info. Coming up later in the show, I've got a mini documentary on processing and restoring sound, so please stay tuned for that.
Exploring Science in the Sea. If you happen to be snorkeling in the Indian Ocean someday and you come face to face with what looks like a feather duster, leave it in peace. It's not trash, it's a feather star, a creature that's related to sea stars. Like a sea star, it has five arms, but the arms can have many branches, up to 200 in all. And the branches are covered with delicate appendages that make them look like feathers. Feather stars are found in all the world's oceans, in both shallow and deep waters. They're most common, though, in the Indian and Western Pacific Oceans. They consist of a cup-shaped body, small legs that can grab onto corals, the ocean floor, or other solid objects, and the feathery arms. The arms come in a variety of colors, from black and white to yellow, orange, and red. And they're detachable. The feather star can drop an arm to help it escape a predator, and the arm grows back. The arms have small tube feet that are coated in a sticky mucus. The feet snatch tiny organisms and bits of dead matter from the water. They drop each morsel into a groove in one of its arms. Tiny hairs in those grooves then carry the food down to the mouth. There are more than 500 species of feather stars today. But hundreds of millions of years ago, there were more than 5,000 species of feather stars and their relatives. In fact, they were one of the most common ocean animals around, so they left abundant fossils in rock beds, evidence of beautiful feather dusters sweeping through ancient oceans. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. I'm Holly Brawley.
Thank you.
For thousands of years, people have used plants as medicine. But did you ever wonder how this knowledge was first learned? I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet. Rick Stepp is an assistant professor in anthropology at the University of Florida in Gainesville. He studies how indigenous societies around the world use medicinal plants.
Well, I think there's lots of questions in terms of how this knowledge is transmitted and how it's carried on, not by being written down, but through oral transmission, how people go about selecting medicinal plants with 250 to 300,000 potential candidates for medicinal plants. How did they come on this subset of plants that are useful for medicinal purposes? We've only had pharmaceuticals in their current form for maybe the last century, but we have 100,000 years of human history and probably beyond of medicinal plant use. We know from looking at non-human primates, both apes and monkeys use medicinal plants, so it's likely that for all of human existence, we've used medicinal plants, and clearly they've been effective, or we wouldn't still be around. You know, they've treated our illnesses and allowed us to reproduce and colonize the entire planet.
In many societies worldwide, this knowledge of plants has been passed on from generation to generation.
Well, I think it's important to learn that for the vast majority of the world's population, they're using plants for their medicines, and that's not very well known, because in the U.S. we don't tend to use a lot of plants for medicines, but for most people, the first thing they do when they get sick, it's not to go to the doctor, but it's rather to go, you know, in their backyard or out in the field, find a medicinal plant to treat it. I think it's also important to realize that there's a wide potential for new pharmaceuticals from plants, and not just plants that are found deep in the rainforest, but plants that are fairly common and exist all around us.
Pulse of the Planet is presented by the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
You're listening to the Thrift Shop of the Airwaves on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. Thank you. Great soul jazz funk group Simande with a tune called The Dove here on the Radio Thrift Shop. This is DJ Frederick, and if you would like to correspond, my email address is frederick@christiannewage.com. That's frederick@christiannewage.com. The Radio Thrift Shop also has a group over on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and hunt for The Radio Thrift Shop.
In January, we asked listeners to check their attics and basements for recordings they thought were worth sharing with the nation. We weren't sure we'd get much response, but we did.
Curator of the Quest for Sound, producer Jay Allison.
Hundreds of you have been calling our Quest for Sound line from towns all over the country.
Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Skull Valley, Arizona.
Bright Waters, New York.
Grindstone, Pennsylvania.
Flintstone, Georgia.
In your favorite town, Wapakoneta, Ohio.
You've called from virtually every state, 49 to be exact, all but Wyoming for no known reason. I'll give our Questline phone number in a bit, by the way, in case someone from Wyoming has a change of heart. It's not a toll-free call, but nonetheless, you have been kind enough to pay the charges, and when you do, you hear a recorded voice, namely mine, asking you to describe your material and
tell us any story that goes with your sound or voices or music, and why you like it and think it should be heard by everyone.
In some cases, you have left us messages that are unambiguously intriguing.
It's a recording that's believed to be the only sound recording made of Walt Whitman's voice.
In other cases, we're not quite sure what to think.
I also collect recordings of bodily noises dating from before World War II.
Sometimes people just call to say they've got something, but they don't know what it is. The medium is there, an old tape or disc or wire, but it's inaccessible, a silent mystery.
There is no record player that we even know that are available for these. They are huge.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it. I guess it's a belt.
A little silver recording, apparently made on top of the Empire State Building.
I guess it's a wax disc.
I have some cardboard records.
A disc that can only be played on a device using a cactus needle.
I'm really afraid to play them.
Unfortunately, I've never been able to find a wire player.
I would really like to know what's on these cylinders.
From the number of calls we've received from people with obsolete formats, we realize that this is not an uncommon problem. For some, they have reason to be very keen to hear their lost family sounds, as in the case of Lori Baker.
I have a recording of my sister. This was recorded about 1951. She was probably about 6 years old. She was singing All Things Bright and Beautiful. My father was recording it on a recording device that made records on paper. We don't have any way of playing this record now. She later died at age 11 in 1958, which was my third birthday, July 9th, 1958. So among other things that we have of hers that we value today, we have this record that still remains unplayed today because we don't have the device, so hopefully you would have a means to play a record that's made of paper. So, thank you.
Unfortunately, we aren't able to provide a complete sound restoration service, but there are those who do. Recently, we took a few old recordings retrieved from our Questline callers to sound restorer Steve Smolian of Frederick, Maryland. He charges $100 an hour to make your grandfather sing or your mother tell her stories again.
I love doing this. If I were to win the lottery, I would probably have a little time celebrating and come back and do exactly what I'm doing.
Hi, my name is Doug Moody. I have a couple of thin vinyl records, and they were recorded by my great-grandfather. They must have been made with some kind of technology that was popular at the time.
Aha. The first record is a black record about 5 inches in diameter. The surface material is beginning to flake away. There's a long raised bump in the middle of one side going from the center hole to the edge, which is going to make a ski jump for the needle. I believe it's running at 78. Let's find out. I guess that's it, and he can count. Well, I think you get the point. That can be restored. It's probably 10 hours of work to get that couple of minutes back, and I frankly would not recommend investing any further in this side.
Hello, my name is Kate Sullivan. My dad was a salesman, and he had the latest equipment always, and he had what was called a gray autograph dictation machine. So what I have is one of these records, and it was done in 1962, and it has my father's handwriting on it, and it's me and my little brother, and it says piano concert, and I have no idea what's on it.
Inside that gray flexograph envelope is a dark blue 4.5-inch disc. The center hole looks like a gear, and that indicates that this is probably... Now I'll make a fool of myself when it turns out not to be the case, but a record that works at constant linear velocity and requires a special machine, which I think I have. What we're going to do is try this on a regular turntable. Now I'm going to bring it down to 33 and see how that sounds.
Okay. A man on the street. I feel like a suspect walking down the block. Correction.
We're playing the outside of the record. Now we're going to play part of the inside part near where the label area is. And now we're toward the center of the record, and you can hear that it's, instead of running too fast, it's running too slow. We're now going to try playing it back on the gray machine, and we're now twisting the dial that brings the record under the starting groove, and here we go.
We will present one of the better-known pianists, Geraldine Sullivan. This should work out well. And a one and a two.
Getting sound from the old formats is the first step for Steve Smolian. If he were hired to give the full treatment to this old piano recording, he would transfer the sound onto his computer and use a program to digitally remove pops and clicks. He can also look at a picture of the sound, expressed in a wave form on the screen, and snip out instances of noise, one by one. It's a time-consuming task, and Smolian warns people about the expense. Most of his customers are professional institutions whose audio archives need refurbishing, not people curious about old family recordings.
Hello, my name is Martha Platt. I have a small disc recording of my Swedish immigrant grandmother singing lullabies somewhere around 1950. For me, I was born in 1948. The disc has never been played. I would not recognize her voice if I heard it. However, my mother is 82, and her older sister is 92. I don't know how they would react to hearing their mother's voice again, but doesn't everyone always say sooner or later, if only I could hear my mother's voice again? I'd like to give them the chance to hear her voice.
The envelope in which it comes, which is in an old S.S. Kresge Company envelope, the old Five and Dime store, one of those fellows, says two records of Grandma Martha Ann.
Hello, Martha Ann.
Made by Oscar
and
Nancy.
How are you feeling today? Have you been a good girl? This is Grandma talking to you. And, have you seen Santa Claus yet? Santa Claus is going to be up here in Calumet tonight. Do I talk too loud? Grandma would like to, for you to come up to see Santa Claus.
I should mention that we have contacted the daughters and granddaughter of Adolphine Bergroth, and they are now listening to her lost voice along with you.
Now I'm going to talk to Mama. Where is Mama? Hello, Hazel. I'm over Oscar's house now, and we got a lot of snow. And thank you for the letter you sent me and asked me to come and spend the Christmas with you, but I can't do it now because, you know, I got three ladies living with me, so I can't come now this year, but maybe next year if I'm living. Then I might come.
Sadly, we won't be able to restore the family recordings of a nation, but here is what Steve Smolian suggests you do to take care of the ones you've got.
Please don't play them. Trust me, send them to somebody who has the equipment to play them.
More advice. Don't place heavy items on top of your recordings. Store records vertically. Keep all recordings in a dry, moderately cool place where the temperature will not vary, and away from sunlight and magnetic fields. Finally, for Lori Baker, who called us about the unplayable paper disc holding the voice of her sister Anne, who died at age 11, here is her voice, restored.
First I'm going to sing All Things Grand and Beautiful, All Things Grand and Beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wild and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, they made their golden colors, he made their tiny wings.
This is the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick on 96.1 WCFILP.